We just realized when we were talking here before the service started that he and I haven't seen each other for 6 months now. That doesn't even seem possible. But with all the craziness of our world, many of us probably are experiencing similar things with friends and extended family members. You know, we look around us today and we see all of the conflict that's going on in our nation. We see the tension. We see the arguments back and forth. The whole political climate of our nation is, it's got almost off the charts, I guess you would say. We look at what's happening in the major cities in our nation, some of the violence that's taken place. We hear reports of increased homicides, not only here in our own state, but in many cities across this nation. And over and over again, I hear people saying, never in my lifetime have I experienced anything like this. You look at the economic impact of this coronavirus on our nation, and you just look at everything that's happening and the angst that it's causing in people, and you read stories about people kind of like going off the deep end, and there's increased depression, there's increased alcohol abuse, there's increased drug addiction, all of these things that are kind of filtering out through our whole society here. And as I've been thinking about that, I realize that in order for us to have peace, we can't just find that within ourselves. We need a mediator to bring peace. We need a mediator in our relationship with God. We need a mediator in our broken relationships with other people. We need a mediator, someone who goes between, someone who reconciles, someone who's an arbitrator, a peacemaker. And when I was doing some study on this week, and so I was searching on some of the Bible apps, I guess you would say, or concordances, I was looking to see where you find the word mediator or mediate in Scripture. And I was surprised to find that it happens in the book of Job. And you know that we just finished over the past 6 weeks doing a study on the book of Job. And if you remember, one of the key things that Job struggled with was why God allowed him to suffer. And Job just, if God would just come down and talk to me, I just have all these questions. And Job felt disconnected with God. And actually, there's a place in Job that I hadn't noticed before where Job kind of wants to take God to court. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that way. If I could just have an audience and if I could take God to court and have somebody, mediate my case. But Job wanted to talk to God. He felt separated from God because of the suffering that he was going through. And he wanted to have an audience with God, but he had nobody to mediate his case before God. And so the reality that Job was facing led to a sense of exasperation. And you find in Job chapter 9, verses 32 through 35, that he cries out and he's talking about God. And this is a really interesting passage to me because Job says, "He is not a mere mortal like me that I might answer him, so that we might confront each other in court." And that just kind of blew me away. It's like Job was saying, I wish I could appear in a court of law and address God and ask these questions of why these things are happening. But Job realizes that he is a mere mortal and God is not. And God is at such a level that Job realizes that I can't confront him in court. And this is what he goes on to say. "If only there was someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together." Job may not have realized it, but he was looking ahead to something that was yet to come, because God would send his son Jesus to be that mediator. So Job is saying, if we could just confront each other in court, if only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's punishment from me so that his terror would frighten me no more, then I would speak up without fear of him, but as it now stands, I cannot. And so Job was smart enough to realize that he could not call God to task. He could not bring him into a court of law and says, why have you done this to me? Job realized that he needed a mediator. And he expresses this desire for someone to mediate between himself and God in an effort to get an answer to his suffering. But Job subsequently realized that there was no one qualified to fill that role. There was no mere human being who could be that mediator between a sinful man like Job and a holy God. None could be found. Job desired a mediator, but none could be found. After all, when you think about it, who in the world is qualified to stand before the face of God? Who can mediate between man and God? And I want to tell you this morning that there is an answer to that question. All of this points to our need for a mediator because we, like Job, in our humanness, are separated from the holiness of God. We need someone to go between a holy God and sinful human beings. We need someone to advocate and to mediate for us in the presence of God. And of course, and as we'll see this morning, we find that mediator in Jesus Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, his young protege. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul wrote this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Now, if you look up the definition of a mediator, you find that it's someone who brings opposing parties or separated parties together and seeks to remove the barriers and the obstacles that keep those people apart. A mediator helps to provide a resolution. A mediator helps to bring reconciliation. A mediator helps to restore relationships. And so in legal proceedings, there are people who have a role of a mediator. And their whole purpose is to get the parties together to agree. And hopefully, in many of those legal cases, the goal is to be able to settle out of court and to bring the parties together and come to an agreement. A mediator in legal proceedings. There are mediators in counseling, where there are fractured relationships, say, between a husband and a wife, and mediators in counseling seek to get relationships restored. They want to bring couples back together again. There are mediators in the political arena that attempt to get parties to come together in agreement. And we've seen a lot of that kind of craziness over the past months between Democrats and Republicans, and who can get them together to agree on certain things. There are mediators in international relations, between countries, between nations, and those mediators work to resolve disputes between nations. And so you have a conflict, say, between North Korea and the United States, and someone will go there as an ambassador, or maybe the Secretary of State is involved in trying to mediate those relationships that are strained. So that kind of gives us a framework for what we're going to talk about when we talk about Christ as our mediator. Now, many of you in our church family received an outline that I sent out by email, and you're welcome to follow along with that. And if there's others of you who didn't get that and you want to see it to read later, you can just send an email to our church office, which just simply is ccmloffice@gmail.com. CCML is for Community Church at Murphy's Landing. So I want to talk a few minutes about Christ as our mediator. And so if we look at this, there's three things that I want us to see. Christ is the mediator between mankind, or between human beings and God. Christ is the mediator between people groups that are in conflict, whether those are nations or racial conflict or different ethnicities that are in conflict. And Christ is the mediator between one person and another when those relationships are fractured. So, first of all, let's look at the fact that Christ is the mediator between mankind and God. If you can turn in your New Testaments, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at those couple verses that I mentioned earlier. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And Paul writes to Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in a proper time." And so what Paul is describing there is that God gave his son Jesus, God gave Christ, Jesus Christ, to be the mediator between people who were separated from God and the God who loves them and wants to reconcile them to himself. So God is a mediator. Christ is a mediator who gave himself to pay for our sins, to wipe out our debt so that we could be reconciled to God. And that idea of reconciliation means to bring back together. And then if you'll look at Romans chapter 5, there's just a couple of verses there. One of those is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament, Romans chapter 5. And that verse that I like so much is in verse 8, Romans 5, verse 8. "God demonstrates his own love to us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And there's a picture of someone who's a mediator, who is someone who takes our place, in fact, and someone who gives his life so that we can be reconciled with God. And the thing I love about that verse is that God doesn't wait for us to clean up our acts. It's while we're still messed up, while we're still separated from God, God demonstrated his love for us and he gave his son Christ. And in verse 10 it says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled? Having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" So the picture is God loved us so much. We were separated from him. He gave his son and demonstrated his love for us. And the purpose of that was that at one time we were alienated from God, but we have been reconciled to God through the death of his son. So Christ is the mediator. He's the one who reconciles us to the Father. And then two more verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." So when we come to Christ and we put our faith in him, something happens in us, a change happens, because Christ comes into our lives through his Spirit, and we are changed and transformed, and we become a new creation. And the old things of our life are replaced by new things. But then Paul goes on to write, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And it talks about the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So Christ was the mediator. Christ was the one who would bring people back to the Father. And so we see in that passage that through Christ, we are new people. Our lives are made new. We are reconciled with God through Christ, who is our mediator. And the result of that is that we then bring reconciliation between others and God. We try to restore that harmony and that relationship, not by anything we can do, but by pointing people to the fact that there is a mediator in Christ who wants to restore that relationship with God the Father, who loves them. And so, as a mediator, Christ restores harmony. He restores relationship with the Father that loves us. He reconciles us and brings us back to the Father. So we see in Jesus that Christ is the mediator between human beings, between mankind and God. But the second thing we see in Scripture is that Christ is also the mediator between people groups that are in conflict. Now, in the context of the early church, that was between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Gentiles basically represented all the other nations. The Jews saw themselves as the chosen people of God, and they saw everybody else as outside of that relationship. And so we find that Christ is the mediator between nations and races and ethnicity. And so the first passage that I want to look at is in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. And Paul talks about this fact that in God's eyes there's no distinction between nationalities and between races. So in Romans 10, down in verse 12, this is what Paul says. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want you to notice these things in those verses. There's no difference. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between black and white. There's no difference between American and Chinese or North Korean. There's no difference between, you could bring that down to the economic level. There's no difference in God's eyes between rich and poor, between successful or struggling. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. I want you to hear that. He is Lord of all. And that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in that passage, we need to see and understand that in God's eyes, there is no distinction between nationalities or ethnicities. And God sees us as we are, sees us as His loved children that He wants to bring back into His family. Now, we tend to do the opposite. We make all the distinctions and we talk about this group and we talk about that group. We talk about this economic status and that economic status. We talk about this race and that race. We talk about this nationality and that nationality. And what we find in Christ is that there is no distinction between nationalities and ethnicities. There is no distinction between rich and poor. There is no distinction based on what country we live in or what background we come from. And if you turn over a couple of other pages, you come to Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 14. And Paul is addressing this same thing. And Paul wrote Romans, he wrote Ephesians. He's addressing this same thing, that there was division and there was separation and there were walls and barriers that were put up between different people groups. And Paul was trying to get across to those that he was writing to that Christ is the one who tears down those walls. And so Paul is talking about the fact that, well, there's, you know, that at one time, the people he was writing to were separated from Christ. They were excluded from the citizenship of Israel. And that wasn't because of Christ. That was because of the church in that day. And he goes on to talk about the fact that, you know, at one time, the people he's writing to, you were without hope and without God in this world. But now Christ, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So you have a picture of Christ as the mediator, the reconciler, the advocate, the one who brings back together. So those who for years had felt isolated and separated and far away from God, through Christ they're brought near to Him. And then in verse 14 it says, "For He Himself is our peace and has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." And if you think for a minute about what's happening in our nation, I would suggest you could see a lot of barriers, you can see a lot of dividing walls of hostility, and Christ is the one, the mediator, the one who comes to reconcile us not only to God, but comes to reconcile with each other. Christ is the one who tears down those barriers and brings down the dividing wall. And I'm not sure that we can do that without Christ. As much as our government tries, as much as nations try to bring reconciliation, apart from Christ, He is the only one who can really break down the barriers and the walls. And Jesus is the source of peace between groups who are in conflict. And then just, for me, this is kind of the icing on the cake in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where John in his vision sees this great multitude of people who are gathered around in heaven, gathered around the throne of God, and they're praising Him. And in Revelation 7, verse 9, this is what we read. "And after this I looked, and there, behold me, was a great multitude that no one could count, all of them from one place." Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say anything about you have to be from this place or be part of this political party or be this race or be this nationality. In fact, it's just the opposite. "I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language." That means every single ethnic group in this entire world is represented in heaven. And they were standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, that's a picture of Jesus. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches. And in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb who is Jesus, who is Christ." So Christ is the mediator between people and God, people who are separated from God. Christ is the mediator who bridges that gap through His life, through His death on the cross, through His resurrection. But Christ is also the mediator between groups of people, whether they are nations or different races or different ethnicities. He's the one that brings us together, and we see that picture of heaven. And then the last thing is, I believe that Christ is the mediator between one person and another. When there is conflict between one person and another, Christ is the mediator, and He instructs us how we ought to live as His followers and how we ought to relate to other people and treat them. So if you look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, and this is part of what we call the Beatitudes, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in part of that, later, you find that Jesus talks about not just loving your neighbor, but loving your enemy, praying for those who persecute you, doing good to those who spitefully use you. And Jesus makes it really clear about how we're to relate to others. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, He gives a title. If we want to carry a title that we're known by as Christians, as followers of Jesus, it should be this: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God," or they will be called children of God. Those of us who live in Christ, meaning that we have committed our life to Him in faith, and that we have allowed Him to come into our lives and to be Lord of our lives, and if Christ is in us and we live in Him, we are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be mediators. We are called to be arbitrators. We are called to be reconcilers, to bring people back together between one person and another. Over in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 12, verse 58, we read these words. Luke chapter 12, verse 58. And a lot of this is, if you look at one of the headings up a few verses earlier, at least in my particular Bible, it says, "Not peace, but division." And He's talking about what was happening in the world in that day and what will happen in the days to come. So Jesus knew there would be times like this. And in verse 58, He says, I'll start with verse 57. "Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate," or "as you're going with your adversary to court, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer throw you in prison. And I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Now that's an interesting thing that Jesus is talking about here, and it's really good advice. If you have a conflict and an issue with someone, and you need to resolve that, and you need to be reconciled with that person, and you need to do it as soon as possible. You know, you're on the way to court, is the picture Jesus is giving. And while you're on your way to the court, and it's your adversary who's dragging you into court, while you're on your way to court, you need to try to make things right, settle the differences, and be reconciled before you have to stand before the judge. And I think there's a deeper meaning than just the practical side of that, that you need to resolve things before you end up being taken to court. I think what Jesus is saying is we need to seek to make things right with those that we are in conflict with. When we don't, we will be the ones who suffer. And I see it over and over again where relationships are strained or fractured or there's conflict and nobody's willing to be a mediator or a peacemaker, and there's this separation and there's this divide. I see it happen among Christian people. I see it happen in churches. I've seen it happen in our church. And it's a painful thing because what happens is we end up suffering in some way. We end up suffering when we're not willing to make things right. And Jesus is saying, hey, while you're on the way, while you have an opportunity, you need to settle this and you need to make it right. Otherwise, you're going to suffer the consequences. Then one last verse over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and following. Beginning in verse 18. And let me read verse 17 as well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And now listen to this. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling, and this ministry of reconciliation is letting other people know that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Christ is the mediator. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's not just apostles or teachers in the New Testament time. It's not just pastors and church leaders. We, God's people, his children, we, his church, are Christ's ambassadors. And I love this. As if God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Because we have been reconciled to God, we have the responsibility of reconciliation with others. And the way that God, in our world today and all through history, the way that he reconciles people to himself, he does that through Christ, but he does it through Christ in us. We are followers of Christ. Christ is in us through his Spirit. Therefore, it's our responsibility to help reconcile people to God. I think that's our first calling and responsibility as followers of Jesus. We need to help reconcile people to God. We can't save anyone, but we can be involved as a bridge builder. We can be involved as a peacemaker. We can help reconcile people to God, just as Christ reconciled us to God and was a mediator for us. When people are separated from him because of their lack of faith, because of their lack of hope, when they feel distant from God, we have a mission and a ministry to help reconcile people to God. We need to show them that in Christ there is hope. In Christ there is peace. In Christ there is love. Secondly, we need to be mediators in situations of conflict. Yeah, we can't all solve the problems that are going on in our nation right now, but we can speak out and we can be a voice. And are there places where we have credibility, whether it's in the workplace or in the community, where in situations where we've earned the trust of others and earned the trust of those who are involved in conflict, we need to be mediators in situations of conflict. I'm not talking about conflict between ourselves and someone else, but where we have some bearing or influence or voice in some of the conflict that's going on in our nation today, in our communities today, we need to do whatever we can to be mediators to bring people together. And maybe we just do that by praying. Maybe we do that by communicating through the means that we have available in our virtual world today. Thirdly, we need to be peacemakers, both for those who are estranged from us and between those who are estranged from one another. We need to be merciful to those who don't deserve it. And I'm talking about situations where you've been hurt by somebody else. That means that you forgive people when they wrong you or hurt you. That you learn to be patient with people's faults and shortcomings. That you show respect to those you disagree with. That you help those who are hurting, even if they brought that hurt on themselves. We need to be merciful to those who don't deserve it. We need to be peacemakers to those who are estranged from us or estranged from one another. The peace that we all need comes from Christ. Christ not only restores our relationship with God, but He also restores our relationships with other people with whom we were formerly at odds. And there are so many stories. There are stories of small tribes in remote regions of the world who for years and years were constantly in conflict with each other. And then the gospel came, a missionary came and shared the good news with one tribe and shared the good news with another tribe. And all of a sudden they realized that they had something in common, that they were children of God, loved by a heavenly Father, and that they had come to know Christ as their Savior, their mediator, the peacemaker. And all of a sudden they found that they could be one together. And we need to be living out those kinds of stories. Because of Christ, the church is the place where ethnic and social reconciliation should be happening. I don't think politicians can solve all the problems of our nation. I don't think politicians can solve broken relationships. I don't think university classes can solve the divide between people. I don't think that money and programs can solve the chasm between the rich and the poor. I don't think that charity organizations and well-intended initiatives can solve the brokenness of our society. Most often, peace treaties can't solve the animosity between nations because sooner or later someone breaks that treaty. Only Christ, our mediator between us and God, our mediator between people groups in our world, our mediator with us and relationships that are strained. Only Christ can solve the broken relationships that right now, maybe more than ever before, define our world. Christ, our mediator, restores our vertical relationship with God. And Christ, our mediator, and the mediator between us and others, restores the horizontal relationship with one another as people. And because of that, He is our hope. And because of that, we need to be carrying out the ministry of reconciliation to bring people back to God and bring people back to one another. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that in the midst of the chaos and the uncertainty and the stress of these days, we find our hope in You. Thank You that You are our mediator, that You are the peacemaker, that you are the ones that restore people to right relationship with God, that you are the only one who can truly bring peace between nations, and that you are the one that helps to restore broken relationships that have been torn about by conflict and hurt. We pray that you will help us to be your ambassadors, to help to reconcile people with the Heavenly Father who loves them, to help to bring peace in the context of our communities, and to help to restore peace in relationships that have been shattered or broken. May we fulfill in some way, in the ways that we have influence and opportunity, may we be mediators just as you are our mediator between the God who loves us so much, just as you are the mediator between nations, and you are the mediator between people whose relationships are broken and fractured. Go with us into this week with the confidence that you never leave us or forsake us, that you go with us, that you have given us your Spirit, who is not only with us but is in us. May we have confidence. May we live your love. May we share your goodness with those around us. And with everyone we come in contact this week, may we in some way communicate hope and peace and joy that comes through you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.